Hello, everyone. I'm Sam.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Mo.
And this is Team Get Over It.
We're an all-female team participating in the greatest motoring adventure on the planet, the Mongol Rally.
We'll be driving 10,000 miles across mountains, deserts, and unknown terrain.
And along the way, we hope to spread our feminist and environmental ideals.
Join us here as we share our stories, thoughts, and interviews as we get ready for the Mongol Rally 2021.
Don't you mean 2022?
Shit!
Hello!
Good morning, afternoon, and or good night, depending on where you are.
True. This is our 30th episode!
Hooray!
Isn't that something? I wasn't sure it was going to happen because work has been crazy for the both of us. But anyway, here it is. Perhaps a little late, but better late than never, don't you think?
Yeah, for real. Oh, I can't believe we managed to keep this up for so long. Here we are, and we'll keep it up for as many more episodes to come. Yay.
Yeah, definitely. We'll try our best anyway.
With our busy lives. Oh. So what are we going to talk about today?
Well, today we're going to talk about an important and ongoing environmental issue that has been plaguing the oceans for a few decades now. The Ooh. Disappearing coral reefs.
Ooh, that is interesting. To be honest, I'm kind of aware of some of the problems, but I haven't really looked into it much myself. So this will be an enlightening podcast session for me as well.
Me too. yeah, I'm in the same boat as you are. I didn't really know that much about it, but I've heard about it, of course. So anyway, without much further ado, let's get started.
Alrighty. So I'm sure that most people have dreamed of being able to either snorkel or scuba in one of the Earth's most colorful and diverse environments. If you haven't dreamed of this yourself, then you probably at least know one person who has, or you've seen one of thousands of advertisements for this very activity multiple times in your life. The sad thing is, this dream is becoming more and more of an impossibility. Due to climate change and pollution, the ocean's coral reefs are disappearing, which is a travesty for more than just your vacation plans. Today, we want to talk about the coral reefs, what's happening to them, their importance, and how they can be saved. And like, legit, they're so pretty. I actually did have the chance to go snorkeling above a coral reef.
Oh, nice.
When I was like 14 or 15. Uh-huh. So that was fun. All right.
Oh, cool. Oh, I didn't know that. That's really interesting. Coral reefs, like the one that Mo just mentioned having visited, are actually quite rare and make up only about 1% of the ocean floor. But however, only about 20% of the ocean floor has been explored, so there might be mysterious coral reefs out there. Or deep sea reefs that with glowing coral. Who knows? The possibilities are endless. If we combined all of the reefs in the world, the resulting mass would only cover an area about the size of Nevada.
Yeah.
So pretty small. Yeah. Over the past 10 years alone, climate change and pollution have caused the deaths of about 14%, or close to 11,700 square kilometers of coral reefs. The main culprits include acidification, pollution, and harmful fishing practices, but global warming is believed to be the worst offender.
Yeah. I know that in Hawaii, they banned people wearing certain types of sunscreen anymore, especially if they're going to be planning on swimming in the oceans, because it leaves like a film on the top of the water that is harmful to the fish as well as the coral. And I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And Hawaii, by the way, was where I went and was able to swim on the coral reefs. And it was beautiful.
Ugh. I'm so jealous. Yeah, because your uncle lives in Hawaii, right?
Yeah, my uncle lives in Hawaii, and my grandparents had a timeshare when I was little in Hawaii as well, which is how I ended up vacationing there twice through the course of my childhood.
Nice.
All right, so acidification. What is that? Well, acidification of the ocean is caused by the absorption of carbon dioxide in larger than tolerable amounts. The ocean is one of the Earth's greatest carbon sinks. And scientists have estimated that the ocean absorbs about 25% of all the CO2 created by humans and their activities. However, a recent study suggests that the that percentage could actually be a lot higher. CO2 dissolves into the surface of water, which then sinks and becomes trapped in those briny depths for hundreds of years before eventually cycling back into the atmosphere. Sorry. The ocean was originally carbon neutral, but since atmospheric CO2 has been increasing steadily since the Industrial Revolution, it has been absorbing more and more CO2 beyond the limits of its capacity. This trend affects the coral by inhibiting their ability to produce their calcium carbonate exoskeletons, which protects them from harsh environments and predators.
Yes, I tried, and then I also tried reading about, because I thought, like, wow, that's really interesting. Like, how does that work? And it was a very complicated process involving a lot of different kind of chemicals and numbers and letters. And so I just kind of gave up and just left it.
Totally
at that.
Fair.
Yeah.
Very, very fair. Like, I know a little bit about, like, carbon sinks and how the ocean, like, absorbs carbon dioxide, because I've read about it in mm-hmm. multiple in articles beforehand. But, like, the specifics of how it works, the way I imagine it is, like, it's the water cycle, but in reverse for carbon dioxide being sucked into the ocean, and then how it eventually cycles itself back out.
Yeah, that's essentially what happens. So
dumbing it down for you, but at that,
yeah, that's okay. Making it palatable, I guess. All right, but then, so that was acidification. But next is pollution. So pollution is a huge problem the world over, and I'm sure you've heard about that trash island floating around in the Pacific. I believe there's actually multiple trash islands these days.
Yes.
though sometimes the biggest aggressors are the ones that we can't see as opposed to those we can. In the case of corals, the biggest threats in terms of pollution are chemical and sedimentary. Things like agricultural runoff, so herbicides and pesticides, oil and gas spills. And if you want to read more about oil and gas spills, you can refer to our blog post on the very subject on our website, link in description.
As well as the podcast episode we did about it.
Also true. I don't remember the number, but it was a little while ago. Untreated sewage discharge and sediment from erosion create a toxic environment that anything, let alone sensitive corals, would find hard to survive in. And it was kind of interesting because, like, when they were talking about the sewage one, I did a little bit and I meant to include, but I did not because, again, it was sort of just, like, very complicated. But I think it was pretty common, like, prior to the 1960s and 1970s, just to dump raw sewage into the ocean. But then a lot of organizations got together and it was banned. So the practice is currently, like, illegal to put untreated sewage into the oceans. However, many places and cities and countries and states and whatever still do it illegally because it's cheaper, of course. They
personal
save money.
Yachts. Boats.
Personal yachts. Boats. Yeah. But even my hometown, because, like, we used to have this thing called the bubble, and it was in the harbor in my hometown. And basically what it was just, like, until extremely recently, I think they just stopped doing it in, like, 2015 or something. They were pumping raw sewage into the harbor. And they were like, oh, yeah. And it, like, and so it created this sort of, like, whenever it was, like, coming in, it created all these, like, gases and it was releasing a lot of stuff. And so there was one part of the harbor close to the shore wherever there was, like, literally, like, always bubbles and stuff going on, and it stank and it was just, like, so nasty.
Yeah, it's very gross. Yeah, no, I was swimming in Hawaii and
just a big turd floats by.
Yeah, no, literally a turd literally floated by, and I was like, oh, gross, what was I swimming in? Oh, like, I was so grossed out. Like, I refused to swim on that beach for the rest of the trip that I was there. I was like, never fucking again. If I see a boat in the ocean near the beach that I'm swimming in, I ain't going in the water. Like, fuck that shit.
Ain't going.
Like, ugh. It was very gross.
Yeah. And then, like, I mean, obviously, like, you know, fish and stuff poop in the ocean, but whenever you're adding, like, millions and millions of tons of extra poop, it kind of creates this environment where there's, like, an excess of chemicals, like, you know, like nitrogen and stuff, and it's actually quite poisonous. So it's very bad.
Well, another topic that contributes mm-hmm. to the decreasing of coral reefs are harmful mm-hmm. fishing practices. Mm. So harmful fishing practices affect more than just fish stock. I know when I heard this one, I was a little perplexed at first, but it turns out that some fishers will do anything to maximize their catches. One such practice is called cyanide fishing, where cyanide is sprayed into the water to stun fish in order to capture them alive. This practice is fueled by foodie culture, where restaurant goers demand to eat only the freshest of fish, ones that they can see swimming around in dining room tanks. And high quality live fish fetches a higher price than a dead one. And more fish can be caught more easily with cyanide. So you can guess what happens. Of course, spraying tons of poison onto water around coral reefs is going to have deadly effects.
I was shocked.
That and then, one like, I didn't know about.
That one is really strange. I was like, really? But I guess it makes sense. I kind of understand it. Like one article that I was reading about this was like, if you fish in the traditional way with like a hook and bait mm-hmm. and try to do it that way, like number one, like the fish can become damaged or stressed out and like die more easily. And then also like number two, you can only catch a limited number of fish per day. However, if you actually like go down into the coral reef environment where like a lot of fishes are swimming around, and you stun them and poison them kind of with the cyanide, then it's much easier to just kind of like grab them and put them in a bag and then bring them up. It's very interesting, but of course it's really horrible. Like cyanide is a really toxic substance. So
have you seen Seaspiracy?
I have not yet, actually.
It goes over a lot of the harmful fishing practices of U.S. and related fishing industries, like some of the fishing industries and practices in Japan and things like that, and what they do and how it's harmful for the ocean's ecosystem, essentially. And it's very interesting. But they didn't mention the cyanide one. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, it's very surprising, and it's pretty severe, especially, I think, like, I was reading one article that was in about the Philippines in particular. So a lot of like Filipino fishers do this, like they employ this method, and the fish are mostly sent to like Hong Kong, yeah, and certain like big cities and other parts of Asia. And it's just like, well, it's crazy. Like even Korea, like I think about, or like I pass by multiple raw fish restaurants. Like sashimi or like restaurants, like just in my neighborhood,
and I see tanks of fish just hanging out.
And I'm like, where? Like, I mean, I've always like sort of vaguely thought about it, but I've never really seriously thought about how those fish are caught or like where they come from, you know. So anyway, could be something quite harmful. But that's not the only way. So other ways that fishing can harm reefs are through blast fishing and trawling. Blast fishing is exactly what you would expect it to be. It's using explosives to stun or kill fish in order to just simply scoop them up more easily. The vibrations and the silt that this inevitably stirs up molests the corals and causes them to wither and die. Trawling, as I'm sure you're aware, involves dragging gear across the ocean floor, kicking up dust and destroying whatever was trying to grow or live there. Anyway, terrible. Trawling has been like a big problem for a long time.
Oh, yeah. And
yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and trawlers also leave behind all sorts of gear and shit that they were just like, oh, I'm too lazy to pick that crap up at the end of the year. And so it just sits there and floats around in the ocean.
Yeah. Yeah. Furthering the pollution issue and harming a lot of wildlife. It's awful. Yeah.
Global warming is one of the mm-hmm. symptoms of climate change. As ocean temperatures increase, coral polyps will actually evacuate their symbiotic algae called zooxanthellia.
I don't even know how to do this one. Zooxanthellae, yep. I think. Probably thellae. There you go. Okay. Probably.
I don't know. I'm not a scientist, guys. So they evacuate their symbiotic algae called zooxanthellae, we think, mm-hmm. that they depend on for food and whose, oh my God, chlorophylly, no, chlorophyll, very close. Sorry, shut up.
Yeah.
Chlorophyll create the vibrant pigments that we so love and enjoy and ocean animals rely on for camouflage. Hmm. This is responsible for the phenomenon called coral bleaching. Once all the algae is gone, the coral turns white. And no algae means no food for corals, and so they eventually die. Coral bleaching is considered to be the number one cause of coral reef deaths among all of the previous listed issues.
Yeah, and I've heard of that before. Yeah, that was... You're welcome.
He's so mean.
Yeah, and I've heard of coral bleaching before, and I've seen like images and stuff and videos of that happening. But I never really knew that it was because of algae.
I did. I read an article that explains that it's because the algae that because like the coral eats the algae, and then like the fish also eat some of the algae off of the coral and everything like that.
Yeah,
photosynthesis happens in the ocean still.
It's quite amazing. Huh. But anyway, so why are they so important? So why are coral reefs so important? Why are we talking about this? What's the purpose of this podcast episode? Beautiful, not only beautiful, but so coral reefs are often compared to rainforests, both for their beauty and wealth of biodiversity, not to mention their economic earning potential. Scientists guess that around 4,000 fish species depend on the reefs for shelter and food, though this number could be considerably higher. About 25% of ocean's total marine life rely on reefs at one point or another during their existence, whether it be to mate, lay eggs, or give birth, hunt, scavenge, or escape predators. Coral reefs lend to the survival of many other plants and animals. If the reefs disappear, then much of that biodiversity will disappear as well. Mm-hmm.
Humans benefit from coral reefs by using them to reap cold, hard cash. Worldwide, food collection, commercial fishing, and tourism are estimated to generate about $2.7 trillion annually. The reef system in the Florida Keys is estimated to provide about $100 million to local fisheries alone. Clearly, humans have an economic as well as moral incentive to halt the destruction and return the corals to habitat.
These are hard sentences.
God, I'm struggling so much today. I can't read.
You need a nap too. We all need to have naps.
Oh, dear Jesus. Okay.
I love how it's just like the struggle is so real. You got to pray to Jesus.
It's not necessarily that I believe in Jesus. It's more of like it was just like a cultural response of like that's what you say in these situations. You just be like, "Dear Jesus."
But I love the thought of like just somebody like is like, "Jesus, please help me get through this paragraph." Like, that's so good.
I'm sure somebody would have actually said that if they did believe in God. Yeah. Oh man. Okay. Clearly, humans have an economic as well as a moral incentive to halt the destruction and return coral habitats to livable conditions. But at this point, is it possible? Why, yes. Maybe.
Maybe. So, a study on reefs conducted by the Global Coral Reef Monitoring Network observed that 2% of the dead or dying reefs they studied in 2019 were able to bounce back, proving that reefs can be and are hardy and resilient when those harmful factors are removed from their environment. Most experts agree that the only way to absolutely solve this issue and save the corals is to stop and hopefully reverse climate change. Corals evolved into existence about 400 million years ago and have survived many changes in temperature and climate over the eons since. But never have they had to adapt as quickly as they have had to do during the last few decades. Through the fossil record, scientists know that there have been at least 6 coral mass extinctions in the past, though once gone, it will take tens of thousands of years for them to return. Provided that the amount of CO2, which caused the extinction, has abated. So essentially what that, I know that's a lot of words too. So I know essentially what that means is that like, if humans consider to create this kind of synthetic elevation of CO2 levels, there's pretty much no hope for the corals to return to their, to their former glory, basically. So we just, we really need to get our shit in order.
I mean, what's so hard about going back to using metal containers, metal and glass containers for beverages and things? Like, that is like probably the biggest waste where I see a lot of plastics coming in, is like, where, and you know, CO2 emissions comes from that as well. It's just like,
Are we just like,
I have a freaking metal water holder that I use. Like,
oh yeah, same.
Like, why can't people just get on board with that? And like companies that, never mind. Anyways,
it's better for our bodies too.
I know.
Yeah, I just, it's like the solution seems so simple, but for dumb reasons, it's been made to be more complicated. Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally,
Yeah, it's frustrating. Like, the whole thing is just very frustrating.
Okay. Back on topic.
Yeah.
So another interesting solution is being explored in the Florida Keys. One research center is selectively breeding corals that are resilient to rising temperatures. Aaron Mueller, the science director at the Elizabeth Moore International Center for Coral Reef Research and Restoration, and her team collect specimens that seem to be surviving well in the warmer waters and then breed them by hand. Later, when the corals are mature, the scientists reattach them to the reef. On average, the center has around 46,000 corals growing in this laboratory. They have grown over 70,000 corals from 5 different species today. Other scientists are studying so-called super reefs that are grown in naturally warmer waters. Their goals are to identify the specific genes responsible for heat resilience and hopefully use that information to bolster reefs and to figure out if there is a cap to corals' adaptability. And I've seen this where they have like, they set up like a grid pattern in the water and like shallower water, where they place smaller pieces of coral that they've bred, and they let it grow into larger chunks, and then they break them off into smaller chunks and repeat the process over and over again and just continue to grow more and more coral. And then the pieces that are large enough that they break off a couple of small pieces to regrow and turn into new coral, they take that bigger piece and like put it back, and then it becomes a new part of the reef.
Yeah. And you know what? It's occurring to me now, but like when I was writing this, I totally forgot about it. It just slipped out of my mind. But of course, like there's also the practice of like sinking ships and stuff that create a kind of like foundation. Which, I forgot about that too. So they can make reefs that way, the artificial reefs. But but those are sort of like, they're short-term solutions. They're not exactly like, we need coral to be able to live naturally without human intervention.
Right. Yeah. No, I get you. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, but anyway, but however, even with all these promising endeavors yielding positive results, ultimately the best way to save all of the reefs is to reduce emissions, runoff, pollution, etc., and return the oceans to a state where every creature can flourish.
I definitely didn't know all of that stuff. I knew some of it, but not all of it. And I'm glad
you knew more than I expected, because like personally, like, I knew zilch, and then obviously erroneously, and I apologize, I assumed that, you know, you would also know zilch.
But I mean, I know a tad, only because I love the ocean, and I've always been swimming in the ocean since I was a kid, and I've always been fascinated by it. And so I'll watch documentaries that have to deal with like the ocean and the animals that live inside of it, and, you know, come across these topics a few times, but maybe not in as much detail.
Okay, so you did you at least learn a little something?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah, I learned a lot of things, because I mean, I think my knowledge of coral was very basic. Corals are animals, not plants, and they live on reefs and they're dying. That was pretty much the sum of all of the knowledge that I had about them.
Okay. I knew a little more than that, but it's not necessarily knowledge that I can just like pull out of my brain at the moment's notice and be like, oh, hey, tell me about coral reefs. I'm like, they're pretty. What do you want to know?
Fair.
So it'll take like a little bit of like prompting for me to remember, be like, oh yeah, I do know about carbon sinks. Oh yeah, I do know about this. I do know about that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And like, I think the world and especially the oceans, because like another thing too, we did that oil episode as well. And we talked a lot about like oil spills happening like in the ocean and water. And mm-hmm. There's always talk about like ocean health and stuff and how important it is for everyone. It's just like,
well, and a lot of those oil spills actually occur near the coastlines. And so it's a lot of the coastal health that's really in danger, not necessarily the deep ocean.
Well, and that's in coastal waters are so intrinsic and important to even like human survival that it blows my mind that we're so negligent of it. And that we do all these like harmful things to something that we
like, oh, it's fine. If it's not broke, don't fix it. It's like, well, it is broke, so we do need to fix it. They're like, no, it's fine.
But I mean, the coral reefs like make money for us. So it's like, it's in our best interest to kind of, you know, keep them alive and healthy.
You can't use it as a tourist attraction if it's all white.
Yeah.
You can't gather fish from it if it's all dead and the fish can't eat anything there. They'll find somewhere else to go.
Exactly. Maybe we'll have like weird VR virtual reef tours in the future. But I mean, that is
something that probably is happening today. Like you could get on a VR
true.
And do a like, let's go scuba diving VR scenario. Like I would not be surprised.
I suppose that would be a lot less invasive, so that could actually be good. But just
it's a good alternative for those who don't like to swim. And for those who do like to swim, need to be educated and take it seriously and not just be like, let's go frolic and step all over the coral because it's shallow enough that I can touch it with my hand. We're just going to touch it and touch and touch and
don't touch.
Don't touch.
No touching.
With your eyes, not your hands.
Exactly. They should have little signs up like they do in the museum.
Yeah. Yes. They should put like little signs. I'm sorry. I'm just imagining like a floating rope barricade below the surface of the water, just like 3 feet off from the reef, and be like, "Don't cross this line. Don't
look with your eyes."
Sorry, let's not do that because we don't need to add any more pollution to the reefs. However, let's educate the tourists who are going to go swim on those reefs or explore around them to really take it into consideration to be aware of their surroundings and to respect their surroundings.
Yes. And then also, like, I guess we challenge ourselves and also anybody at home to just like try to be more mindful of your carbon footprints, you know, try to, you know, reduce your transportation if you can, or take public transportation if possible. And also, like, you know, Mo was saying before, even like, you know, reducing your plastic use and stuff. I know the worst offenders, honestly, are like big corporations and even like certain countries and governments. But, you know, if the majority of the almost 8 billion people that live on this planet just do something like, you know, pretty small, then we can also make a big difference.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, the next time you go to a beach, take some time, bring a trash bag with you. And if you happen to see any litter on the beach, you know, take some time to pick it up. It doesn't have to be a gigantic amount, but like, you know, if you see a bottle on the beach, pick it up and put it in the trash receptacle where it belongs, not in the sands.
Yeah, true. That's fair. But anyway, so yeah, I mean, just to sum up, like, I didn't know any of that stuff before, but I'm really glad that I know it now. Knowledge is power, as they say.
Yeah. I mean, the world is certainly a mysterious and terrifying place. So thank you to our listeners for bearing with us this far and getting us all the way up to 30 episodes. Woo! So please continue to support us by commenting, liking, subscribing, and sharing our podcast with others.
You can also support us by becoming a patron. All revenue will be donated to the charities Cool Earth and the Center for Reproductive Rights. Links in description.
Thanks again, and we'll see you next month. Or rather, we'll hear you next month.
No, we won't hear them. They'll hear us.
Oh, damn it. My pun fell flat.
Goodbye.
Hasta la vista.
That's it for today, folks. Thanks so much for tuning in.
And as always, please support this work by subscribing and donating to our cause at www.teamgetoverit.com.
Donors get access to specific content like stickers, t-shirts, and postcards from our journey.
You can donate for as little as $5 and the benefits build from there.
Go to our website for more info or find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Team Get Over It.
Thanks for listening and catch us next time on Get Over It. Yeah. So,
what I wouldn't give to go on vacation right now. Oh, yeah.
Vacation and acidification. Bup, 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 bup.
But.
They rhyme. However, a recent study suggests that that percentage could actually be a lot higher. CO2 dissolves into the surface of water, which then sinks and becomes trapped. Sorry.
Yeah.
Man, science stuff. Woo!
Science! Yeah, there's quite a bit of science in this one, so sorry.
It's all good. Like, most of this I actually know already, so I'm just like, oh yeah, okay.
Okay, cool.
Okay, sorry. I gotta focus.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then I think, maybe did I miss like a whole paragraph? But I was also reading something. Oh yeah. Oh no, you read it, and I, for some reason I zoned out. But like... Oh yeah!
Oh my god! Like, you don't realize, listeners, Caitlin zoned out while I was talking.
I zoned out while you were talking.
I'm completely crushed. I don't think we can be friends anymore.
I'm sorry.
Just teasing.
I'm sorry.